The idea of the world in peace is an attractive one, and often, perhaps especially right now, an elusive one. But we keep trying to get the people and countries of the world to live in harmony with one another. Right now, we'll talk to one person who puts his focus on achieving world peace on what we put in our mouths. Will Tuttle is a longtime vegan, and he believes what's good for him is good for the world. He's the creator of the World Peace Diet, now out in a revised book form, and he takes his message to our corner of the world over the next few weeks. His itinerary for today and the next 3 days is Weaverville, Ashland, and Eugene to take him into Saturday. Will Tuttle joins us by phone here on the Jefferson Exchange. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening in.
So let's talk about the World Peace Diet in book form. This is not new. You developed this more than a decade ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's actually, as you were saying, it's a product of many years of research. I've been a vegan now for nearly 40 years, and I gradually began to realize that at a deep level, our culture wounds all of us, really, by forcing us to participate from the time we're little infants in meals, which are really in many ways rituals of indoctrination in any society. And these are meals that reduce our sensitivity and create an underlying attitude of indifference to the suffering of others. And I think, peace is really, as you were saying, it's something that we long for, and yet we have these food rituals really throughout the world, and I've been able to travel recently all over the world, China, everywhere, and talk to people. And it's great to see there's a receptivity to looking to the roots of our dilemmas, which is our relationship with animals, with nature, and with each other, and to heal those relationships.
Is it as direct as if we can be unkind to animals by making them be our food, we can be unkind to people?
That's basically it, right? That's a big part of it, and I traced back to the World Peace Diet is a pretty big book. I mean, I go into the history and sociology, anthropology, as well as the nutritional, environmental, and cultural and aspects, social, psychological aspects, and also the spiritual dimension. I was a Zen monk in Korea, and really back in the 80s was able to spend time not only doing a lot of research. I have a PhD from Berkeley and did a lot of research sort of academically, but also to do a lot of just meditation, literally many thousands of hours of just sitting and, in a sense, disentangling my consciousness from the cultural program. It's very difficult. I mean, it's so deeply ingrained in us to look at an environment as something that we can use and to look at people as something we can use, because at a deep level, we're looking at cows, pigs, chickens, and fishes as just things, as objects, commodities to be used. And this mentality of use destroys the essential respect and compassion and justice that are the foundation of peace and human relationships as well.
As I look at your own story, Will Tuttle, you were 22 when you got all the animal products out of your diet. What led to that decision on your own part?
Well, for me, I think it was because, like for most people, it was because I had the example of some people who were not eating animal foods. Because I was raised in New England, actually, back in the 1950s, eating the usual meals, and I never questioned it because it was so pervasive. And I even, as a young person, like in my teen years, I would go away every summer to a summer camp in Vermont. I learned how to kill chickens. We would kill the cows on the dairy. We killed them ourselves. We ate them. I did all that. I had no problem with it, really, because I was well indoctrinated that this is how God wants us to live. We need these animals for calcium, for protein, so forth. I realize now it's complete nonsense, but at that point, I believed it. And then it was during the hippie era. I left college and I started traveling and with my brother in 1975. And we thought we would walk from all the way across the country from New England, from Concord, Massachusetts, where we lived, all the way to San Francisco. And we on the way, we were in Tennessee, and we were at the farm. And the farm in 1975 was actually the largest hippie commune in the world back then. It was almost 1,000 people. And they were all basically eating a plant-based diet, and they were thriving. They had probably 200 children eating a totally plant-based diet, and they were doing it actually for world peace. And these kids were thriving. Everybody was doing great. I said, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "Well, there's two main reasons. One is that most of the food we're growing, instead of feeding it to people, we're feeding it to animals, and human hunger and starvation and food shortages are the driving force behind war and conflict in the world. And also, do you know what these animals go through? And I said, well, I don't want to hear about what the animals go through. but they said, well, they told me a little bit about the hyper-confinement, the mutilation, the routine horror and abuse that are inflicted on millions of animals every day. And at the same time, I was eating meals with these people of vegetables and grains. And so I learned by doing and by their example, and that was it. From that day, I remember back in 1975, I have never eaten meat in my life, and that's over 40 years ago. So I think it's the example. You know, we only eat meat and dairy products because of the example of the culture we're raised in. And if we can actually see an example of healthy, happy people who are not doing that, we can begin to question that behavior. And that's the healing, really, I think, that can happen in our consciousness.
Will Tuttle is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. The creator of the World Peace Diet, a 10th anniversary edition of the book, is available now. And he is making a tour of the region with a stop in Weaverville tonight, two stops in Ashland Thursday and Friday. He's in Eugene Saturday. And moving ahead, Tuesday the 27th in Roseburg, Wednesday the 28th in Reading, and the 9th of July in Ukiah. So definitely hitting lots of corners of our region. You can join the conversation here and now on the Jefferson Exchange about veganism and promoting world peace through that set of values. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So is it as simple as eating a vegan diet, or are there some other practices you advocate along with the intake of food and how we go about obtaining it?
Right. Thanks, Jeffrey. That's a great question. Yeah, the main idea in all of this is it's not about blaming anyone or fighting about this. It's just essentially to turn our consciousness inward and connect with our heart, you know, with our intuition, with our inner wisdom, and look with eyes where we practice seeing beings rather than seeing things, and to realize that being raised in a society where the fundamental rituals, which are meals in any society, force us to see things instead of beings, that not only harms the beings who we see as things and allows us to mechanize systems to really abuse them and kill them, but it really harms us. It reduces our natural joyfulness, our natural sense of being part of a benevolent and creative outpouring of life on this beautiful and abundant earth. We begin to see forests as mere board feet of lumber to be used. We begin to see other human beings as resources and instruments for our own benefit. And so I really recommend not only the outer behavior of moving to a plant-based way of living, so that means not eating meat, dairy products, eggs, and those kinds of things, but also trying to refrain from buying wool and silk and leather and fur and that as well, but also to take time on a daily basis to quiet our mind and just be present. You know, I guess you'd call it mindfulness. It's really about being conscious, becoming more conscious and aware of what's motivating us in our daily lives, so that instead of serving a system of violence and abuse that is, I think we can see, is really just ravaging oceans and ecosystems and climate stability and as well as, you know, feeding a war machine that is taking most of our money to destroy people and environments while we, instead of building housing and providing food for people. So, you know, this is the underlying structure of disconnectedness and indifference that eating animal foods requires of the population, to realize that really the only reason I was eating or anyone eats animal foods is because we're just following orders. We're following orders that were injected into us from infancy by people we trust completely, you know, our own parents and teachers and neighbors and friends and clergy and doctors, government officials, and it's gone down, it's passed down through the ages to the last 10,000 years, and it began in the Middle Eastern part of the country, in Iraq. I go into the whole history of this, but, you know, understanding that herding animals creates a patriarchal, violent society that has spread and created what I refer to today as the military-industrial, meat, medical, pharmaceutical, media complex. And this complex is running rampant on this planet. And if we don't awaken to our own individual responsibility and transform our own lives and then share these ideas with others, then I don't think we're going to really have much of a world for our children.
All those industries you mentioned seem to have some interdependence on each other, but there's, you know, what you're really about is interdependence between creatures. You see some parallels in the breakdown of human families, I notice, and how we break up animal families in agriculture. Can you explain that a little further?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I discovered, and I think it's so important to understand, is the ancient spiritual teaching, really, or wisdom teaching of as you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever we do to others, sooner or later comes back to us. I call it the boomerang effect. And so one of the, you know, when we look at what we do routinely to animals, we break up their families, as you say. You know, there's no possibility for animals who are born into the food system to have any kind of family life. As soon as they're born, they're stolen from their mothers. They're put into confinement. And so every individual is seen as a mere unit of production in a heartless economic system. And that's what they are. That's how they experience life. And they're abused and killed within that system to serve that system. So we destroy their families. We steal their milk. We steal their lives. We steal their purposes. We force them to live in toxic environments. And we force all kinds of mandatory vaccination and other drugs onto these animals. And so we find that the same thing is happening to us. We find that our families are breaking down, our medical system is becoming more violent and toxic, and we find that we're forced ourselves to live in more toxic environments, because what we're doing to animals by the billions, and these are beings who are like us, they are very similar to us. We try to make them be different, you know, the way white people try to make black people be different. You know, if we're going to impress them, we have to make them different. But they're not different. They're very similar. They have similar yearnings. They have the capacity to suffer psychologically and physically, just like we do. And so if we harden our hearts towards them, we will end up experiencing ourselves what we force them to endure. And so it's very important for us, I think, to wake up out of what is really a cultural trance that's been forced on all of us, and to engender love and kindness and respect in our hearts, not only for animals, but for each other.
We're talking to Will Tuttle about the World Peace Diet, which he developed a long time ago, and he's discussing it on the road this week in Weaverville today, Ashland tomorrow and Friday, and Eugene on Saturday. We have an email here from somebody. This is actually the exact place I was going to put the discussion next, which is the general nature of carnivores, though. And Jason, no town given, says, I agree with all the discussion on animal cruelty, but I have to disagree that it's not in our nature to eat meat. If a person was to grow up all by themselves on an island, I'm certain they would be eating meat. It's not a cultural indoctrination. It's evolution. That's not to say there are a lot of horrible things that come with industrial meat production. I just disagree that it's not in our nature. So there will still continue to be other carnivores, even if all humans stop eating meat. How thoroughly can we change the world if that still exists?
Right. Yeah, that's a common response to these ideas. And I think it's a good question, because we look out into the world, we see that there are some carnivorous animals. But the basic idea is that, you know, most of the animals are not carnivorous. They're herbivorous, and they follow their nature. There are some top carnivores that are important for healthy ecosystems. But for us as human beings to eat animal foods, because there are some lions around or tigers or other carnivorous animals, is ridiculous. Animals do all kinds of things. We, you know, some animals, the males will eat the babies. You know, we don't say, well, you know, some animals eat their own babies. You know, honey, I ate the baby this morning, because, you know, some animals do that, or they live in trees, or they vomit up their food as a sort of romantic act to their partner. We don't do those things. I mean, we know that's ridiculous. Why would we pick this one behavior that we see among animals and ignore all the rest and use that as an excuse or as a rationalization for us to do the same behavior? We do not have the nature. I have a whole chapter in the World Peace Diet called The Intelligence of Human Physiology. If you look at our saliva, our dentition, our digestive system, our circulatory system, everything about our physical body basically points in one direction, that all of us have been given this wonderful gift, a gift of a human body that does not require any animals to suffer to get all the nutrients that we need to thrive and be healthy. And yet all of us have been born into a culture where we've been required from the time we're little kids to refuse this gift and to stab and kill and oppress and mutilate and confine animals anyway. And not only do we cause them suffering, we create heart disease, cancer, diabetes, liver disease, kidney disease. All these diseases are much higher in likelihood for people who are eating animal foods than for me. I have not been to a doctor in 40 years. It's just wonderful to live a healthy, vigorous life on a plant-based diet. And people who eat a plant-based diet, it's well understood, live longer and are healthier. So why do we use these rationalizations to promote violence when it's completely unnecessary?
Will, we just have about a minute left, and Boyd in Wolf Creek wants to know if a vegan diet can include things like, the native people did consume animals, and wants to know if their spiritual practices are respected in your traditions. I mean, for example, the salmon consumption of the Northwest natives.
Right, of course. Of course I respect those traditions. I think that today, however, with 7.5 billion people on the planet and dwindling resource base because of the abuse of animals and ecosystems, that we have this wonderful opportunity to create gardens and orchards and ways of eating that are in harmony with the earth. And it's well understood that we could feed everyone on this earth on a fraction of the land if we stop eating animal foods and eat plant-based foods.
All right. The assembly of ideas is called the World Peace Diet. There's a 10th anniversary edition of the book available now. And Will Tuttle himself will be at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center tonight at 6:30. He'll be in Ashland at Yoga Solutions tomorrow evening. He will be at the Ashland Public Library on Friday at 7:00. And at the Eugene Public Library on Saturday at 2:00 in the afternoon, talking about the World Peace Diet. Will Tuttle, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, everyone. Really.